Oh man, are we back in the building? Come on now, what's going on everybody? And welcome back to another edition, another installment, a new episode of one of your favorite podcasts on these great streets, one of your favorite one-on-one interview podcasts. You feel what I'm saying? The Black Men Win podcast is back. Black Women Win series in celebration for Women's History Month. Give it up. Give it up. All month, all 2024 and beyond, because these are our queens, these are our mothers, our aunties, our sisters, our god sisters, our you know how we say the aunties that ain't even our aunties for real, the mamas that ain't even our mamas for real, the nanas that ain't even the nanas, the women that raised us, you feel what I'm saying, and all that in between. So we appreciate them. We thank them for all that they do. Before we get into everything, make sure that you like, comment, subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to us. We thank everybody that continues to watch us on our Epic Echo Productions channel on YouTube. The Epic Echo community continues to grow, and we appreciate y'all. We thank y'all and we love y'all. Continue to listen to us wherever you do, but we would love for you to listen to us at our website at epicechopro.com. That is epicechopro.com. Make sure you hit that, put that in your websites, and you can listen to our podcast right there. All right, so you ain't even gotta go to Apple Podcasts and all of that good stuff. You can go right to my website, and it's Android and iPhone friendly. You feel what I'm saying? So we good. We got it for both of y'all. You feel me? Listen, we have a great dope interview for today. Very personal for me because this is a friend. Did I misspell a website? Lord have mercy. I probably did. Lord have mercy. But that's okay. It's going to be epicechopro.com. Make sure that you check that out. But got a dope interview for y'all today. Consider her a friend. Definitely a podcaster, dope podcaster, creative, and a licensed. I want to put that licensed. Okay, licensed therapist, because in this world today, and I'm so glad that she's coming on the show, in this world today, we have a lot of people just being like social media therapists, fake therapists, right? This is a licensed therapist who talks to various people on a daily basis and really gets down to the fabric of their life. And so I'm so excited to kind of dig into her brain and understand the concepts of, you know, therapy and what that looks like. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, aunties and uncles, put your hands together. Okay, for my personal friend, the one, the only, Miss Denise Moore.
Hey, everybody. Hello, hello. Thank you, thank you. Thank you.
What's that, Ed?
I'm here.
What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing very well. The sun is shining in Florida, so I'm excellent.
Come on, we in Florida with it.
First of all, we are in Florida with it.
I'm super jealous. I am jealous right now. It is pretty warm in New York right now. You know, they having a little warm day right now. You feel me? But that's that. But listen, this that weather, and you know it all too well. That weather that gets you sick.
Yeah,
I'm saying? So make sure y'all masked up out here. Yeah,
That pneumonia weather.
Let them know, Denise, before we get into everything, please briefly let the people at home know who you are and what you do.
Hey, hello everyone. First, I'm from Buffalo, New York, y'all, okay? Like, I was born in Detroit, so what up though? And raised in Buffalo, so Bills Mafia, so let's go Buffalo. And I'm here in Florida right now, in Tampa, Florida, and I'm a licensed mental health counselor here. I'm also a qualified supervisor. As Ty said, I do have my own podcast as well. It's in a rudimentary stage. I'm not dope and lit like Ty, but he's definitely goals. I am an author of two journals that I've created. I'm also a speaker, and this weekend I'm hosting a seminar on healing a mother-daughter wound, and I think I'm just pretty lit. So I just want to say, Ty, thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, no problem. I'm excited to have you. First of all, I got connected with Denise through, of course, our dope Contents of Color community.
Yes.
Yes. And I know that word community. Yeah, I know that word community really gets kind of thrown around sometimes. But we really have built a strong family bond community. And yes. Shout out to the content creators of color. Shout out to all of our family members in there. But met Denise through there. And me and Denise kind of hit it off, you know, just right off the bat, you know, asking questions about podcasting and everything. And I'm patient. You feel me? You know, so I'm definitely here to give advice. You know what I'm saying? And all of us are, you know, so we definitely have given her the advice, the nurture, you know, to you know, push her into that field of podcasting. Because sometimes I tell people all the time, like, podcasting can be very intriguing, but it can also be intimidating at the same time because it is so new. It is so fresh. I remember our friend Dom, shout out to Dominic, who's actually been on the show as well. I remember him posting something. He's saying, like, podcasting is just this new, you know, shiny new toy that's in the media space right now. And everybody's trying to kind of get their hands on this toy instead of just kind of nurturing the toy, understanding the toy before you kind of put the toy into motion, right, and into production and everything like that. And so I was always here to help and everything. And so just to see how you have grown in your podcasting journey, you know, saying from where you've come and like, nah, I ain't gonna buy a mic. I mean, I'll buy a mic. Like, I'm gonna get it. And to know, like, you got not, and let me say this to all podcasters, like, she just don't got any old kind of mic, as you can tell, as you can see. This is no ordinary kind of mic. She got that Shure mic, you feel me? And Shure cost a little couple dollars, you feel what I'm saying?
It was a couple dollars.
It was a couple dollars, you know what I'm saying? So I'm super excited for what you... And the fact that you're just aligning a lot of the concepts that you already do, all the work that you already done into your podcast as well. I think that's kind of the best way to podcast, is kind of align your interests with your podcast, right? Know your audience in a sense, but align your interests kind of with your podcast. Talk to me, because we are both from the 313, shout out. You feel funny. That you're actually in Florida. I was born in Altamont Springs, Florida. My dad's side is from Orlando. Okay. So it's hilarious how you're in Florida right now. I miss my peoples down there. Shout out to my peoples in Florida. But talk to me a little bit about, you know, being born in Detroit and then the upbringing in Buffalo. What was that transition like, if you can kind of take us through it a little bit of that? Because Detroit to Buffalo is a major move, especially Buffalo, because Buffalo just sees snow. Love you, Buffalo. Love you, Buffalo, New York. I love everybody in Buffalo. all my epic echoers in Buffalo. I love y'all, but it's snow. Nice.
Listen, okay, it snows in Detroit and Buffalo.
You ain't wrong. It does. Okay. But not damn near year round, though.
No, that is true. And I remember some hot summers in Detroit.
Yeah.
Actually, when my parents separated, I was went with my mother to Buffalo. Okay. So we ended up being raised there. I started high school at Cooley High in Detroit. Nice. So went back 4 years, stayed, me and my sister after me stayed with our father. Mm-hmm. Went to Cooley High School, walked there because it was that close. I lived on the west side of Detroit. And it was pretty lit. I actually went to Cooley High. Right. It was very interesting. It was different. You got high every day from contact. I mean, that's just what that was. We had to break, you know, we broke in the classroom instead of staying in the hallway. It was easy to jimmy the door.
You was a bad kid, wasn't it?
No, Ty.
No, we're not gonna put actually, that on you.
Yeah, that's it. No, the therapist can't be bad enough. The therapist is not bad in high school.
No, see. I think therapists were bad in high school.
See, exactly.
I think they were. I think they may not have been as bad, though. I don't think y'all were, like, as bad as the baddest kids in school. You feel what I'm saying? I think therapists, to a degree, had to be bad to understand.
Oh, okay. Right? I'm not going to confirm or deny.
They had to understand, because listen, a therapist is understanding, you know, not only your behavioral traits, but the mind as well sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And so early stages of, hey, you're going to be a therapist, right? Let me stop. I don't know. Let me stop.
I am not divulging anything, but I will listen to you all day.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So was it like a back and forth from Detroit to Buffalo? Was it, or was it just like, okay, I'm here in high school, you know, I'm back in Detroit for high school, and then after high school, do you move back to New York for school, or?
So listen, I'm not sure of the conversation that my parents had, but me and my sister after me went for that year to stay with my dad, mm-hmm. and then it was like, oh, you moved back to Buffalo. It's like, I had a boyfriend here and everything. I got to leave Detroit, you know. Got friends here, you right, know, had a life
right,
there.
Had that exactly.
Yeah, I'm like, what are y'all gonna tell us? They don't, you know, the parents don't always include the children in the conversation. So, moved back to Buffalo right. and finished high school in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was that.
Wow. So after high school in Buffalo, what's next for Denise at that point?
Denise went to college. Mm-hmm. I was about an hour away, I think, maybe 30 minutes away to Niagara University. Mm-hmm. Majored in social work, so I have my bachelor's degree in social work. Had my daughter because I had her that January and graduated that May.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. It was definitely a struggle. Me and her dad, you know, we were still together, but we were right. like 23. We don't know what we were doing with a child.
Right.
Yeah. So it was that, and just started working in the mental health field then.
Talk to me a little bit about that, because starting, you know, getting the social work, I have a lot of friends, both male and female, in the same area, in the same space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about kind of the struggles? Because what I see from a lot of my social work friends, no matter the industry that they're in, because, you know, whether they're doing actual, you know, social work, or they're doing kind of, you know, getting their license for therapy, I think there is a toll that weighs on y'all sometimes that doesn't get discussed. And I see it every time we have like our monthly discussions. Sometimes they always talk about, like, you know, as sometimes being the one who's not bearing the burden of other people's problems, but kind of assisting with other people's problems, it's hard for them to kind of come and just sit down and kind of debunk what they're, you know, what they're sharing and what they're feeling, mm-hmm. what they're holding inside. So can you talk a little bit about maybe some of the struggles going into it, as a social worker, and plus being in the mental health space so early too?
Yes,
right before it was popular. Right, Denise?
Oh,
before,
right.
Before we have these trending topics of mental health and everything, like, and that's why I wanted you on the show, because you started in the space so early, right? You were in the space when it wasn't trendy. It's not trendy now. Well, it's trendy now, but before it was a trending topic, or before it was so, you know, because black folks going to therapy, getting
right.
mental
that's,
health,
that's
taboo.
Listen.
Taboo. So for you listen, to not listen. Only get the degree, but also work yes. in the space.
Yes.
Can you talk to me about those early struggles a little bit?
So I did not notice the early struggles. Mm-hmm. The early struggles, I was working with the autistic population. Mm-hmm. This was, of course, back home. There's a lot of resources back home in New York
right.
for certain populations.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Worked for hospice, worked with the severely and persistent mentally ill population. So I did that. So for me, it wasn't much about struggles. A lot of those roles were like medical social work roles and case management roles. So in that time, in that area, it's like the early 2000s, mm-hmm. people wanted a social worker to come and assist and to help.
Right.
So I did that. So fast forward, I moved out of state and lived in a few different states and did a few different things, but still just having therapy. A lot of therapy were with white families. So mm-hmm. they are fine with therapy. Very few black families. So
right.
now I'm here in Florida, you know, completed my master's program. Yes. Yes, yes, completed the master's program. And now I'm working as a therapist. And a lot of times I sound like I'm white over the phone, I've been told. So when I show up in person and I'm not white, like I get questioned, I get asked about my background, I get asked about my degree, I get asked about how old I am. I'm in my 40s, by the way, almost 50. So, you know, I get asked about all these things. I remember one conversation, I was working with this elderly lady, and me and her was having a conversation. And her son, see, I spoke to you over the phone. Sir, yes. Okay, talking to her. So you're the one, yeah. She said, dang it, you spoke to her over the phone. Can we get on now? He said, and you have a master's? I was like, this dude, yeah. You know, and I'm just like, listen, I know my voice sounds different, but I'm not going to change that. This is who I am. And I'm going to show as me. So being a therapist, one, you get looked at differently because you get looked at as a strong friend. Two, we do have the capacity to hold other people's burdens, as you said.
Right.
We can hold that. Like, we're built to hold that space, and absolutely, we can just let that go. We help you unravel the yarn so you can think clearly
for
yourself. When 2020 happened, you know, when therapy became very popular, and Amazon got in on it, absolutely, CVS got in on it, so many places that do not even have a therapeutic mindset cashed in on it, kind of like podcasting, what's happening right now. It became a little bit difficult for us that's in our own private practice and space. However, just being out there, marketing myself, and just putting myself in a position to be seen, people are like, okay, so you're a therapist, and you're Black, and your hair is natural, okay, wow, that's the thing also. When I first started growing my locks, they're like, oh, do you think they'll continue to allow you to work here? You're growing your locks. I was like, why wouldn't they? I was naive. I said, why wouldn't they? Because they're locks. If they ask you to cut your hair, I don't have to work here. Who's cutting my hair? Like, I'm not doing that.
Yo.
No one said anything. It was just, I guess, a concern. Like, I'm not.
So it was more a concern, I guess. What we're hearing is like more of the concern is from the patient than the actual people that are partnering with you and employing you.
I would say not even the patient. All like that. It could be the patient's family, other coworkers, the people that are employing me. Could it be the employers? It could be, but are they coming to me saying anything?
No.
Nope.
Right.
Nope. Nope.
It's the underlining undertone of everything.
Yes. And so we have this, the stigma of, you know, and I want to say in the United States, I'm not sure about other countries, therapy should be free.
Yes.
Because my degree was, listen, my degree is not free. Electricity is not free. The internet is not free. The programs is not free.
PEUs
is not free. The license is not free. The study materials is not free. Every 2 years paying the state is not all of that. What we have to do,
right,
all that is not free. However, it should be free though, because people say it should be free. We're not always valued. And so 2020 opened up a lot more conversation.
Specifically Black women therapists. I know my lady has a Black woman therapist. She loves her. Specifically wanted to find a Black woman, right?
Yes.
I think to your point, as you were about to say, like 2020 really opened that space up a lot. Because as we said before, not only was it taboo for us as Black men and women to think about therapy as something to help us. No, we ain't. What?
Right.
Whatever.
Talk to who?
I don't want to.
What happened in the house? Stay in the house.
No, exactly.
The house is burning. You better suck it up.
What? Okay, well, get some water.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You know. And so, you know, 2020 really opened that space up for a lot of us to really take therapy a lot more seriously.
Yes. We didn't have a choice.
No, we didn't. And I think we had to sit in that and be like, okay, we got to stop, right? as black people, right, just men and women both, we have to stop looking at therapy as a taboo trait, because it's not. Therapists are here for a reason. You understand what I'm saying? Like they're here for a reason. As Denise eloquently put it, like they're here to unwind your big ass yarn ball, right? That you have, that you just been winding up, and all of us do it. We ain't all perfect. We still learning, right? Everybody has their own journey with their own purpose, with their own process. I understand that, right? But along the way, you're gonna need some help. And as this is coming from a man who had to learn what help looked like. Especially me being an only child, being like, oh, let me just do everything on my own. You can't do everything on your own.
No.
Right? No, you exactly. Like, you cannot do everything on your own. Denise, what did it look like? Because you talked a lot about the pandemic and opening up doors. What did those doors kind of look like for you after the pandemic? Because we talked about, and you talked about, you know, honestly, kind of your early stages, you know, going into, you know, the mental health stage and social work, and there being a market for people like, hey, we need you to come in and you know, we need your services, we need your expertise. Before the pandemic, and I'm kind of change this to a two-part question. Before the pandemic, was there any lack of work, in a sense, for you? And then after pandemic, did you see an uptick or anything?
So,
or did you see a change, a shift?
There was a change, mm-hmm. a shift. So before the pandemic, so 2019, so before the pandemic, I was working at, you know, for an agency, and I decided to become a school counselor for mm-hmm. a charter school here. So I just wanted to see what it would be like mm-hmm. to work in the school. I learned that school is not for me. So it was K through 8. It was very interesting and challenging. Mm-hmm. And I learned that it's not for me. And when the pandemic happened, it became much more noticeable here when we started paying attention, like February-ish, March.
Right.
So Super Bowl Sunday, because I recently received my license in 2019.
Gotcha.
Super Bowl Sunday, I met with another therapist who said, in one of the therapy groups, now that you're newly licensed, what help do you need? And I said, let's meet Super Bowl Sunday, because I love football. I said, okay, we can meet. And so we met, we spoke briefly, and I started my practice that year. Mm-hmm. And the pandemic sat us down and showed black people what we already knew, what was happening in our community, but now it was televised. So the trauma that we've already experienced was being televised
right.
over and over. Ahmaud Arbery, and then we had Mr. George Floyd.
Yeah.
And everything else in between and after, it just became onto the forefront.
Right.
And many people were reaching out looking for therapy. One, because of what was happening that we were seeing on TV.
Right.
Two, the pandemic. We had to watch hundreds of thousands of people die every day, and a government took and told us, keep working like normal.
Yeah.
And yep. three,
and stay in your house. Yep.
So many children that we did not have eyes on were now at home.
Right.
So many parents lost their jobs because the daycares were not open.
Yep.
So many jobs closed down. So many people became unhoused. Domestic violence shot up. They did not close the liquor stores. They made sure that stayed open.
Oh, they made sure to look. Listen, I'm a side note. I came to New York mid-pandemic, August in 2020. That's when I moved. New York was a ghost town, right? New York City was, and I moved to Brooklyn, Bed-Stuy. When you say the liquor stores were open, the liquor stores were open.
Open.
They kept them open, right?
Open.
Even the churches were down. No, liquor stores were open.
Correct. Yes.
But go ahead. I'm just sorry. I just had to put that out there.
So when you have individuals who use work as a coping skill so they can avoid those challenging conversations at home, or so they can avoid being at home around whether their spouses, partners, and children, now everyone is at home. you already know. Like, it was just a petri dish for chaos and disaster.
It was. You're right. And I think this leads into my next question, because the importance of therapy is sometimes now it's being kind of exploded, which I love, right? But sometimes it can be so minute. Specifically speaking, can you talk to the importance of why we need Black women therapists in the space?
Because we're looking for us.
Yeah. Yes.
Black people are looking for Black people to go to for therapy. We know that we, not all of us, can't say it's all of us.
Right.
But we understand, we are compassionate, we are authentic, we are real, we're grounded, we're down to earth, we're loving. We're knowledgeable about what is happening and what's going on. Even if you cannot articulate it, I guarantee we share a similar experience.
Absolutely.
Guarantee it. So if you start and you stop because you can't articulate it, I'm able to finish it. Like, we just grew up in the same household.
Right.
We're able to do that. And we're able to do that well.
I think, and that's the thing, it's the personability. Who said something to me? I think somebody just said, like, women just have that emotional quality about themselves, right? It was literally my last, our last Black woman win interview with Cassandra Owens, Dr. Cassandra Owens. We were talking, and she was, and she mentors Black men, right? Mm-hmm. Specifically. And she was just like, listen, you gotta, there is a thing to be said when the man's mentality is sharp, because as she said, the man is the body. I mean, the man is the head. The woman is the body. If the head can't function, the body can't do nothing.
And right. We need each other.
Now, the body can do this and move around and stuff like that. Right. But like, if y'all are partnership, right, and y'all are together, y'all are one, y'all are whole, the head can't move without the body, right? It can only do so much without the head, right? It can only salute, it can only do something. The body can only do so much. So when you talk in that sense of Black women being that, I think we need more of that. And we were talking about actually just how, I don't know if you've seen it, just the recent case when it comes to Trump and the district attorney, I think for Atlanta, they're trying to kind of pin a new case on her because, you know, she had I guess her husband is her, you know, security detail or whatnot and all of that stuff. Think about the level of like mental fortitude that you gotta, and mental strength that you gotta have to be in that position. Mm-hmm. And then to go after Trump, and then for the government to then now come after you as the district attorney because you're going after the government.
Right.
That is next level, like, just craziness. And I acute that to the strength of Black women to do what needs to be done no matter what. We as Black men don't stand tall without y'all. That's a fact. And I think society can say the same thing. Society as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's important for us to have Black women in these spaces, especially therapists. Right? We already have them to a degree when it comes to the nanas and the aunties and all of them, you know, family therapists. Right. Well, we got some people like Denise who are actually licensed.
Yes, I am.
Okay, went to school for this stuff, knows the ins and outs of everything, and really can get down to the nitty gritty. We need more women in the space. We need more Black men in the space, of course. But in terms of our culture, how we maneuver, we definitely need more Black women in the space. Denise, first of all, I just want to ask you just a personal question. How much you charge?
Oh, so I take insurance.
Hey, there you go.
See, I love therapists like that.
I take insurance, and I do have private pay as well.
Nice.
So the thing with insurance companies, because so many people ask, why don't you take certain insurances? Mm. So you are an insurance company, Ty. Mm-hmm. You received my application, mm-hmm. and you, oh, she want to be a therapist. We got a lot of those. I think we're going to put that over here. Okay. I'm waiting to hear back from you because, you know, it's another stream and I can see more people.
Right.
I call, you may not answer my call. I email, you may not answer my email.
Oh, wow.
I do this for about 30 days. And then you say, oh, we have enough therapists in your area.
Oh, wow.
So that does happen. And so.
That is the reason. See, she putting secrets to the forefront that we didn't even know. I didn't ever personally know that, but I do know of people like, yo, why they don't take my insurance, yada, 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 for that, you know, reason to know it's kind of that. Like, it's not even y'all in a sense. Like, y'all are trying to submit the application, trying to put it in. It's the insurance company that's like, yeah.
Right. They have up to 30 days to reimburse us if they decide to reimburse us. It can be denied. That has happened for, it can happen for months or it can happen for a couple weeks. We just had a breach and we may not get paid for another couple weeks until there was a data breach that happened with, something happened with Change Healthcare. So that happens as well. Or sometimes because the insurance company say, well, okay, I'm going to pay you like $30 to see the client. And you're sitting there like, $30? Wait, hold on.
Did that data, okay, this may be super off topic. There was a glitch that happened with United Healthcare. Does that have to do with you?
Yeah, Change Health. Yeah.
Oh my God, no.
It happened.
Oh, I read about that. That Russian hacker went crazy. He had about like six. Oh my God. Denise, I'm so sorry. That, like, because they talked about it as, you know, United Healthcare had a tremendous data breach. The dude, I think, was from Russia, hit him for like, he had about six things worth of 6 terabytes worth of data. So you 6 terabytes times 6.
Now, listen, 1 terabyte is.
Woo! Okay.
Now I know about that.
I got a 4 terabyte storage for my game. That is a lot. In itself. Yes. So think about, like, that's a lot of game that you can put on there.
It is.
So think about the amount of files, the amount of healthcare, insurance informations, payment informations, credit card oh man.
Yes, sir.
I feel bad.
There's nothing. You know, we wait, like, we continue to provide the service. Right. So that's just one. Another thing that happened, your insurance company can tell you, oh, Ty, you know, with ABC Insurance, you can only go to 3 places for therapy.
Now, why is that, Denise? Like, why do they limit it like that?
Because they can do, it's their business. They can do whatever they want. It's their company.
You're right. They can.
Ty, I'm your insurance company. Mm. We're no longer covering mental health therapy.
Dang.
So it's a lot of things that happen. It's a lot of things that happen. So we try to, because we know therapy is important for people. So we try to work it out with our individuals, or we're able to go and partner with larger companies mm-hmm. to be under their umbrella to see other people. So I'm under one of them. So I'm able to see more people and get a higher reimbursement rate. Now, therapy is important, but it's not important. It's important enough for you to do, but they don't want to pay you for it. Here's a dollar, make it work. You know, type of thing.
Now, when you done spent all that money on, like you said, on them degrees, learning everything, and patient to, you know, therapist confidentiality, you better pay me.
Listen.
I'm just saying, Denise, I do say this all the time. Teachers and therapists need a better pay.
That's it. And then you have people that say you should have picked a different career. Like, I love my career. I love my career. I love what I do. I'm really awesome at it. I love the space I'm in where I can just offer healing to my people, first and foremost, because we didn't receive that healing. So for me, this time, it's a time for healing now.
Right.
It's time.
And I'm just like, how do y'all sit here and say teachers and therapists don't just, you know, just need a dollar? That's crazy. Because these are the ones, teachers are the ones that's teaching your kids. The ones that you drop off every morning to go to work. Now, mind you, you do go to work, but they do the teaching and the raising sometimes.
Yes.
Okay, let's keep that a bean. And then therapists are the ones that when you come in crying, boo-hooing, they sitting down listening to you.
Right. Trying to help you. Hold you accountable.
Hold you accountable. Listen to you and your problems. But we're telling these two specific professions that literally help society in every way, shape, and form that they should just get paid the least. And that's nuts to me in a sense. I do believe therapy should be free. I believe like states should pay y'all, the like federal or state, something like they should pay y'all because that is a necessity in a sense. Can you talk a little bit about how podcasting has kind of opened you up creatively and how, you know, being in the therapy profession, being a therapist, a licensed therapist, has interwoven into your podcasting journey as well?
Yeah, so the name of my podcast is Healing Power Release, the Healing Session. And I love talking about mental health topics, something that we all don't talk enough about, in a healthy way. We as therapists, we see how society will take our turns and we'll throw it around.
That is a fact.
We sit here like, I wish y'all would stop. So, it helps me to bring a knowledge, awareness, and an understanding to people.
Right.
I said, we just want you to really know that everyone is not a narcissist. One. Two, you have to be diagnosed. I had a client, such and such said I'm a narcissist. I said, were you ever diagnosed by a therapist or a physician or a psychiatrist or psychologist that you are? No. I said, you know, it's in our DSM-5 and DSM-5-TR. You know, we have that big purple therapy Bible. Oh, I didn't know it was all that. You have to.
Right.
Because we'll throw it around so much, like it's bipolar. We'll throw those things around.
Right.
And people will take that title and place it on them without truly knowing if they exhibit those signs or not. Because trust me, the people that have bipolar, they don't even want it.
No, you're right. They
don't even want it.
Facts.
But it's a chemical imbalance, so Facts. They have to, this is what that is. So that's how I'm able to use podcasting and therapy and link them together, just to provide that information and to provide that awareness.
Absolutely. Listen, before we get out of here, niece, I want to ask you one question. We ask this question to all of our Black men that come on the show, right? But since it's Women's History Month and we are celebrating Black women all month of March for real, I want to ask you, what does Black women win mean to you? When you hear the phrase off the top of the dome, what does Black women win or Black women winning mean to you?
So, Black women win and winning. We're showing up in more and more spaces where we were not represented before or underrepresented, where being ourselves authentically.
Yes.
And we're not living up to that stereotype. Yes. We're not living up to the strong Black woman stereotype or to the angry Black woman stereotype. Mm-hmm. We're showing up as ourselves. Like, I just taught a group on Healing Power Release. It's a 6-week group for Black women. And one of those weeks we spoke about the strong Black woman and how those microaggressions cause you to put on something else, like a different persona.
Right.
We're taking that off. So we're winning by being ourselves. We're winning by being authentic. We're winning by showing up. We're winning by encouraging everyone else that's coming behind us to do it. We're winning by holding ourselves and one another accountable. We're winning by opening the door and mentoring and paving the way for other people and by supporting one another.
Come on, niece. Yeah, that's not
winning.
Denise, I appreciate you so much for coming on the show. I'm super excited to continue listening to the podcast. Thank you for continuing to just heal our community. You feel me? One patient at a time. You feel what I'm saying? I really do appreciate you. And to all Black women who are in the therapist space, you guys are much needed. You guys are much appreciated. And we applaud you for all that you do. Give Miss Denise a round of applause for me. One more time. Our people find you, where can they listen to the podcast? Do you want to give them, you know, your little the social media tags and everything like that? Where can they find you?
Oh yes, yeah. So I am on YouTube, Heal and Power Release on YouTube. I am also on Instagram, Grow and Power Transform Therapy, that's the name of my practice. I am also on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. Somehow I have a Pinterest page and a Tumblr page as well. And you can listen to my podcast on Spotify. And I'll make sure Ty the Pie Guy has all of that.
Yes, I'm going to make sure I have all of that in the description. We'll get that out to you guys when this episode releases. Denise, thank you so much for coming on the show again.
You're so welcome.
Thank you so much. And to everybody else, listen, we appreciate y'all. We thank y'all again. Amazing interviews so far. I really do love them. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe wherever you listen to the podcast. Be sure to listen to the podcast at epicechopro.com. That is epicechopro.com. We said it right this time. You feel what I'm saying? And be sure to listen to us, or actually watch us here on our Epic Echo Productions YouTube channel. Shout out to the Epic Echo community. We love y'all so much. Over 1,100 subscribers in the can. Oh man, the rebrand is rebranding, and I really do appreciate y'all for taking this ride with me. So I mean, I really do love y'all and thank y'all. Like I said, the numbers is up. So let's continue to run the numbers up. Let's continue to be stay positive. Y'all have a great, great week. And this has been another one. Here, y'all be good, stay easy, be breezy, and we will see y'all for the next one. Peace.